Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Senator Boxer of California plans to take up energy reform and climate change legislation by the end of the month. Senators Johans and Chambliss argue the carbon credit portion of that bill will benefit only a select few of the farm population. Incoming Senator Ag Chair Blanche Lincoln agrees with them. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, you'll hear the first of many a harvest season call from me to take an afternoon nap. I'll even tell you to do it during my program. Hey, it makes good economic sense. So let's tell you why that's the case. You'll hear about it later in the day. And then at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September soft red winter wheat at $4.32¾, up 3¾. December at $4.58¾, 2½ higher. And the March at $4.78½, up 2½. September hard red at $4.62½, 2 cents higher. From the corn pit nearby September at $3.09½, up 4. December a 5½ cent gain at $3.15¼. And the March at $3.28¾, the settlement price up 5½ cents. May futures at $3.38 in the corn pit, up 5¼. July at $3.46½, up 5¼ as well. Soy complex, September beans, $9.73½, up 12 cents. November's were down 2 at $9.26½. The Jan's at $9.33½, down 2¼. March at $9.38¾, down 2¼. And the May beans at $9.38¼. Down 4 cents. September bean meal at $3.49, up 20 cents. The October down $1.30 at $2.89.50. September oil at $33.70, 3 cents lower on the day. October live cattle, $87.22½, down 32½. September feeders at $99.50, down 30 cents. And the October lean hogs at $52.42½, 97½ cents higher. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, October contract, $71.94. The settlement price, 63 cents a barrel higher. November's at $72.27, up 45 cents. October ethanol at $1.59¢. That's a penny and 7 cents higher. The natural gas at $3.28¢, 45 and 7 cents higher. That's right, 45 and 7 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.80½. That's 2¢ lower. Heating oil futures at $1.79, just about 0.4 cents lower on the day. Diesel fuel. And then propane, 97¢, 0.2 cents lower for the afternoon. Gold futures at $995.40, just about a dime higher. The Dow now at 96.11, that's 9,611. 64 points higher on the day. The U.S. dollar at 76.81, down 0.27. And the CRB index at 254.89 is 1.67 higher on the afternoon. Just to recap, that natural gas number is up 46¾ cents. It's at $3.29¼. It's important to farmers because it is the most abundant product that goes into the production of nitrogen, and it's of all forms of nitrogen fertilizer. Here's what the weather forecast now looks like from our own meteorologist Ed Kieser. He says tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, patchy fog forming. Lows will range from 54 in portions of eastern Indiana to 64 in downtown Chicago. Tomorrow, partly patchy fog early, otherwise mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range, says Ed, from 75 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Dry weather expected through the weekend. It's likely that mostly dry weather will continue next week, with most of the uncertain weather after that. Temperatures over the next 10 days should run a bit above average.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rebecca King in Galesburg at 309-341-5007. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the AgriGold Champaign County Research Station. The meeting getting underway at 4 o'clock with presentations from AgriGold. Still time to get in on the free dinner. Call toll-free 866-313-2145 for your reservation. And then after dinner at about 6:45, our agricultural panel. Panelists include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. That at the AgriGold Champaign County Research Station with the meeting, our part of the meeting, beginning about 6:45 this evening. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. We always talk with the folks over at ADM Grain Group. And Dan Zwicker is on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Hi, Todd.
We've got a big report due out tomorrow morning from the USDA. And I suppose farmers are sitting on pins and needles, hoping that the numbers that come out from USDA are not nearly as big as some of the numbers that they've seen come out from the commercials and others who are trying to divine just exactly what the size of this year's corn crop and bean crop might be. What do you think will be shown in the cards?
Well, I think you got to go with the crowd to a certain extent to expect some larger numbers, probably more so in corn than soybeans. I'm personally not convinced that the soybean crop may be as big as what some of the private estimates suggest, but we'll have to kind of wait and see what USDA comes up with. But I think you have to expect some larger numbers, but it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers came in at or a little bit underneath the trade estimates at this point.
Yeah, so what we would get if trade guesses are correct, we're looking at 159.5 at the moment at the August estimate for national yield. Trade average guess now is 161.3, or a third of a bushel, mm-hmm. with a total production of 12.9 billion bushels. That's up from the 12.7. One of those two numbers actually would be the national yield would be a record, but the 12.9 still would not be a record. So I assume most in the trade are thinking the harvested acres are not going to be as high as first expected. Is that right?
Well, no. I don't. My guess is we're not going to see a change in harvested acres on this report. I think the harvested acres number will be more adjusted on the October report. But, you know, this is an unusual year. We had a lot of late planting. We've got a lot of late crop. But I really don't see much of a reason why USDA would want to alter that harvested acres any at this point unless they see something in their surveys that would need to be adjusting. But it's not at least expected, I don't think, at this point.
So a 12.9 billion bushel corn crop, according to trade estimates. We'll find out at 7:30 tomorrow morning. More about that along with the WASDE numbers. Expectations now for the next year's ending stock or the coming harvest ending stock to be a 1.769 billion bushel carryover. When you put those two into your carry into your sheets, what do you see for an average trade on cash prices in the coming season?
Well, I think I think the corn market is probably going to struggle for the most part through the year. I think what this large crop does and these and current price levels is going to really lay the foundation for an extremely large demand base for the following crop year. And I'm talking about the 2010-2011 crop year. So I do think that at some point in time, the market is going to worry about securing a large crop for next year. This is kind of a rebuilding the demand year. I think we've got a big crop to do that on. Exports are going to be very stout this coming year because of the weakness of the dollar. We've got ethanol production gearing up. We're going to see a lot of new plants come online during this marketing year, so we're going to chew through a lot of bushels in the ethanol market. But the weak link in corn still remains the livestock sector. It's coming off of some very unprofitable times in here, and it's going to take a little while, I think, to get the feed demand secured back up. But I think, as we look down the road 6 to 10 months or so, I think we will probably secure that good feed demand base. And I think better, the market's going to need to secure a big crop next year. And I think this kind of fits with a lot of market actions. When we have spikes in the market, like we did here last year, it usually takes a couple years before the market gets geared up to go again. And I think that's kind of what this year's crop is basically telling you, that we got a big enough supply at the moment to keep prices generally stable, and that'll be used more as a demand-based building period for the following crop year.
Yeah, so to build the foundation of the demand, prices would stay low, but over time should creep upward, I would think. Does that mean you're suggesting producers who have the ability to store the corn crop, the coming corn crop, keep it under lock and key?
Well, I don't know if you got to go lock and key. I mean, we farmers produce corn and soybeans to generate revenue. I mean, I do know a lot of them fall in love with it and they store it forever. But for the most part, it is a business. And we're in an environment that we just don't know what we're going to wake up to the next morning. And there's a lot of volatility in the marketplace. So I think that my general outlook is that, yeah, better pricing opportunities are probably ahead of us, but we first got to get through harvest, and we got to get this crop, in a home. But as the marketing year proceeds, pricing opportunities should improve. So there would be an indication that maybe one would want to store crop, but there's other ways of owning at least price ownership through options or other different marketing alternatives that a farmer may want to take a look at, rather than pay storage and interest charge, even though interest are not quite as high as they have been the last few years. But there are ways to, retain ownership and still take advantage of price strength later on in the marketing year.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I mean, lots of people do that, but you think we're at a low enough price at this point that if a producer needs to go ahead and ship it and sell it across the scale when they harvest this fall, that they might consider buying it back in some form? And for how much of a price increase do you suspect would be there over the long run, and where are you going to purchase at?
Well, you kind of have to kind of map down and see which fits your cash flow. But, as just a broad brush, kind of looking at option opportunities, I guess and looking at the supply-demand fundamentals of corn, I would think that, when this market decides it needs to ensure a larger or a large planting and a good crop, it's going to be more in that February, March, April, May time frame. So I guess if I was going to replace cash sales with an option strategy of some kind, I'd be looking at maybe using July options on corn. I think you could use a straight call option. You might want to use a spread call of some kind, buying a call close to the money, selling a call maybe out of the money of maybe a dollar or so. That would give you an opportunity to capture at least a dollar up in the market sometime down the road if the market does decide that it needs to ensure a big corn crop next year.
I suppose if you've got the dollar left to pay for it, we'll see. Cash rent's going to come due. It may be a very tough haul.
Well, this would be one way to get the money out of your cash corn, though, and this is where I think farmers are probably going to need to do some selling. I mean, it's no big secret that farmers have been generally light sellers of the crop this year. Everybody in the whole world knows that farmers are going to be needing to do some selling as time goes on, as their cash flow needs begin to ratchet upward, probably beginning any time after harvest, and increase pretty much all the way into March. I do feel very comfortable that we do have a strong demand base underneath this market. My exports are going to be good. For those listening along the river markets, I think they're going to have some of the best bids they've seen in years compared to some of the interior areas. And ethanol grind is going to be awfully stout. You've got ourselves, we're bringing on the new plants in Cedar Rapids and Columbus, Nebraska is going to be coming online this marketing year. So we're going to lay the groundwork for a huge demand disappearance. So this big crop, I think, is going to be positive in the long run.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, Senate Environment and Public Works Chairman Barbara Boxer, a Democrat from California, says her panel will take up energy reform and climate change legislation by the end of the month. Six Senate committees have jurisdiction over some parts of the climate change legislation and have been invited to mark up those sections. They include agriculture, commerce, science and transportation, energy and natural resources, environment and public works, finance and foreign affairs. Yesterday in the Senate Agriculture Committee, Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns and Senate Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Saxby Chambliss argued that climate legislation would benefit only a small number of farmers, while producers of some major agricultural commodities have no chance of getting carbon credits. Johanns and Chambliss were joined in their criticism of the proposed climate legislation by Senator Blanche Lincoln, who is now set to assume the chairmanship of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Lincoln said she wanted to make sure a bill would not put a disproportionate burden on farmers. CFTC Chairman Gary Gensler yesterday said if Congress passes a carbon cap and trade bill, the CFTC has the necessary expertise to regulate expanded carbon markets, but would need more manpower to provide adequate oversight. In dealing with issues such as market speculation, Gensler said it would be important to have transparency in trade and the positions being carried by major index funds that may be dealing in the carbon markets. USDA Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Margaret Hamburg says she wants to lead FDA to play a greater role in nutrition as well as pushing food safety legislation through Congress. Hamburg said she has recently seen food labels making, quote, claims that may not be true. And she said she wants to reestablish scientific standards for claims. Hamburg also announced the establishment of a reportable food safety electronic portal through which the food industry is required to alert the FDA quickly when a company's products might sicken or kill people or animals. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, I know you're probably interested in that crop production report and the WASDE numbers, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report that is due out tomorrow morning, and you'd like to get a firsthand look at them. You can do that by signing up for our weekend newsletter. Do it right now at willag.org. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. It's absolutely free, and if you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. The point is, if you do it now, you'll get those numbers in your email. in a newsletter that you can start to download tomorrow morning. We'll send the links to you tonight. Dave Dickey should have it updated by about 7:35, 7:40. The numbers come out at 7:30 Central Time. I'll do an interview with Daryl Good from the U of I tomorrow around 8:45. And I would think by 9:15, the links to that interview that'll be in the page that Dave Dickey sends to you will be hot. And so by 9:15, you can get some reaction from Daryl Good. And then, of course, there'll be updated reaction all day long right here on this radio station and at willag.org. Please visit the site, sign up for the newsletter, and let us know what you think of it. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, you know, the National Safety Council always reminds farmers and ranchers to take care, but they do so in a special way during the harvest season. I'll have more on one of the nation's most dangerous jobs and why farmers might just take an afternoon nap.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
Those of us that work a regular job expect a coffee break in the morning and the afternoon. There's a good reason why. Research shows it makes us more productive and more alert. Well, that same research can be applied to farmers and farm workers, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Safety Specialist Bob Aharon.
Yeah, it's important. Research shows us that every 2 to 2.5 hours of continuous work, even if that's operating a combine or tractor, we should stop for 10 or 15 minutes to take a break. What that does is it relieves us of the stress and focus of what we're doing, even if it might be kind of monotonous at times. And it makes when we go back, we're more mentally alert, less mentally fatigued, and much less likely to make a mistake that results in injuries. And our data shows that we have big peaks in injuries at mid-morning and mid to late afternoon after people have been working continuous hours and not stopping for any, you know, for a little break.
Aharon says much of the time it's important for others around the farm to remind workers to take a little break and to shut down the machinery. A little mid-morning snack, a little afternoon nap, that might be just a good thing.
At least a snack would be good. A nap would be nice. I know a lot of farmers, that might be challenging for them. But even if they went and ate lunch and slept for 15 or 20 minutes, it amazingly increases our alertness and dramatically decreases having an accident. If we have an accident, it's, you know, the average accident in our estimate cost us about $25,000 to $30,000 in medical costs, downtime, lost productivity, those sorts of things. And if it's a fatality, it goes up to over $1 million. You look at lost productivity and those sorts of issues, as well as the direct cost of the death itself. And so it's important in managing risk that we understand how to manage ourselves to minimize those risks.
The message is clear and simple for the harvest season. Operator downtime pays because there are fewer errors, injuries, and even deaths when a body is well rested. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report, back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Christopher Kennedy is in place as the new chair of the University of Illinois Board of Trustees. Fellow trustees voted him into the chair's position this morning in the first board meeting since Governor Pat Quinn appointed 7 of the 9-member board. Kennedy is not a U of I alumnus. He's the head of Chicago's Merchandise Mart Properties, owned by his famous family. He's the son of Robert Kennedy. After the morning meeting, Kennedy told reporters he understands the U of I's importance and that the board would address personnel issues with a subcommittee. Trustees have been asked to review the performance of President Joseph White and Urbana Chancellor Richard Herman leading up to the revelation of inconsistencies in the admissions program. Meanwhile, Governor Quinn says he's ready to see a list of admissions reforms approved today take effect. Trustees voted on a resolution that calls for an end to lists of applicants endorsed by political leaders. It also creates firewalls between admissions officials and powerful people. Quinn says it was important to appoint trustees with a diverse background to run the U of I, which he calls one of the state's biggest corporations. Purdue University has received a $105 million grant to create a new center for earthquake engineering. The National Science Foundation grant is the largest in Purdue's history. It'll fund a new center that will manage 14 earthquake engineering facilities and allow researchers to easily share data and conduct experiments remotely. They hope to better understand how buildings, bridges, and other structures react to earthquakes around the world. Illinois is getting more than $2.8 million in federal funds to fund forest health protection projects. The two projects in Illinois are among 78 projects selected for funding in 30 states. Traffic on Interstate 74 east of Urbana is being delayed by a wayward truck driver. State police say an empty fermentation tank struck an overpass in the eastbound lanes. They say one lane remains open, but traffic may have to be rerouted later as they figure out how to remove the truck. They say damage to the bridge may be substantial. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on the University of Illinois campus. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon is meteorologist Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. We were at Farm Progress Show, so we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say about the potential for frost and freezes and when they do and don't come to the Midwest.
Okay, well, that is probably the last and most important hurdle for this crop to go through this season. And the outlook, briefly, and we don't have to worry about anything in the next 5 or 6 days. When you get beyond that, the models have been a little bit equivocal about what they're forecasting. They've been looking like they want to make it cold between the September 20th and 25th, but they can't get on the same track from one run to the next. So my feeling is that we are going to see cooler weather next week, but probably not the really cold weather until the last week of the month. Still, that's early for this crop, which is running so late. We talked about the growing degree days being behind normal, and this is the time of year you just can't get caught up, even with the kind of weather we're going to have this week with slightly above normal temperatures for most of the week. That's still not going to get you back on those growing degree days, which we lost during the summertime when that's the time to pile them on. We're running still about anywhere from 120 to 250 growing degree days behind normal. That means that crops that got in late, especially crops that got in late, are way behind in their maturity dates. That all shows up in the maturity data that the USDA presents every week. Crops are running way behind on denting of the corn crop, for example. We're 25 points behind the normal of 75. Only 50% have dented, and that still means you've got many more weeks until you get into black layer maturity of the crop. So we're going to have a corn crop that's probably going to end the growing season. Quite a bit of it, especially in the Northwest, that is immature. And that means you still have the grain out there, but you don't have the quality, and you have a difficult time drying it down. It just takes time to get the moisture out of the crop, and it's not going to happen naturally. Probably have to be done artificially. The other crop, the soybean crop, we see the same problems there. There's just not the pod count that we would like to see at this time of year. The crop's going to continue to go for another few weeks before we get a end-of-season frost or freeze, but I still think we're going to lose some of its early potential because of the delayed season.
And very quickly, maybe 30 seconds or so, when we look at the coming week, you said above normal temperatures, not much above or a lot above?
No, just about 2 to 4 degrees above normal for the next 6 or 7 days, and then cooler the following week. The question is, will it be cold enough? I don't think so, but I do think that we're setting up for a cold shot toward the end of the month, and that will be significantly earlier than normal.
Pete, thanks much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt is meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon, or Thursday afternoon, that is. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.